Agud Erev Shabbos, everybody. Baruch Hashem, we are approaching Parshas Vayetze, like I told Nachman earlier, always reminds me of a specific story which speaks to our brotherhood, our unity, our working together in yeshiva, all of us developing together, being great people. We cannot do it alone. We can't do it alone. Every one of us needs someone else. There's a funny story, it's a classic story. I can't go by Parshas Vayetze without saying this story. One of the important episodes of Parshas Vayetze is when Yaakov Avinu was traveling to go find the bride. Little did he know he'd come back with four. But he went to go find the bride. And as he goes, he takes a nap and he has a dream. And in this dream, as we know, there are malachim going up and down the ladder. Malachim going up and down the ladder. There was a very famous story in the 1800s. There was a fellow in shul, let's call him Reb Zelig. Reb Zelig was in shul, and this Reb Zelig, he refused to learn with anybody else. He learned by himself, day in, day out. That's what he did. He did not believe in learning with chavrusas. Anyway, the years go by, and every day Reb Zelig is learning chavrusa. He writes in his notebook, and one day Reb Zelig sadly passes away. He died. And he left over a will, and in that will it says that I would like to be buried with all of my notes. All of those notebooks throughout my life that I had been writing on, I'd like to be buried with them. And as we know, you can't be buried with anything. A person can't be buried with anything. He can be buried with his notes, but he seemed to have been a big Talmud Chacham in shul learning all day. Of course, he refused to learn with anybody else, but fine. So this question was asked to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Gadol Hador at that time. Can this person be buried with his notes? Can he be buried with his notebooks? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, let me see his notes. They bring his notes to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger looks through it, and he has something surprising written in those notes. It says, Parshas Vayetze, the story, Yaakov Avinu, angels going up and down the ladder. This Reb Zelig, he writes in his notes, why were the angels going up and down the ladder? Why couldn't they fly? Good question. So this fellow writes in his notes, you know why they couldn't fly? Because they were baby malachim, and baby malachim's wings didn't develop yet. And that is why they needed the ladder. As you can imagine, Rabbi Akiva Eiger probably had a good laugh at this, but then he said, that's what happens when you refuse to learn with the chavrusa. You refuse to learn with the chavrusa. I think the guys in my class know, I talk a lot about my chavrusa. When I learn my chavrusa, he says something krum, he says something that's not MS, I scream and yell and I'll say horrible things to him. That's how it is, the Gemara says. That's the nasim oyavim zelz. You gotta fight, you gotta be like enemies. Afterwards, when you finish learning, you put your arm over his shoulder, nasim oyhavim, you become beloved to each other. But while you're learning, he's a fierce enemy. He's saying something that's not true. You ask the question and he keeps at it and he says some line like, don't worry about it. That's just what it means. But that's not what it says. I'm looking at the words in the Gemara, in Rashi, in Chumash. I'm looking at the words. It's not what it says. You need a chavrusa to tell you, baby malachim, get alive, baby malachim. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But a person who refuses to learn with someone else, what can you expect, said Rabbi Akiva Eiger? Here in yeshiva, we work with each other. We had a beautiful Chumash program. I get to learn with somebody too. Yet you have a chavrusa. You work together with somebody else, developing, achieving. You can't do it alone. It happens to be that throughout the week, I was looking around and there were people on their free time learning the chavrusa. I saw in the library this week a Rebbe learning with a Talmud every day this week, learning with his Chavrusa. Nachman was learning in the library every day with Rabbi Milstein, learning with a chavrusa on his free time. Another person, he learns virtually with a Rebbe somewhere else. He had some free time in yeshiva. He asked for permission to be able to get his phone for that free time. He gets it. He sits there. I was watching. He was there. Mamish learning. He finished the Masechta with his chavrusa, his Rebbe over the phone. Got to work together. People here, they go at nights. They have a chavrusa on the side, free time. Somebody came over to me every day. He said, I want to learn with you. I haven't gotten our chance yet. We're going to figure it out. We're going to get our time. But you get a chavrusa, you work together with somebody else. What's greater than that? One of my favorite stories, the Vilna Gaon, the great Vilna Gaon. Great, great genius. The Vilna Gaon dedicated to learning Torah. One time his closest Talmud, Reb Chaim of Volozhin, came to visit his Rebbe. It's very interesting, in those days, Reb Chaim of Volozhin was a student of the Vilna Gaon, but it's not like he was like sitting with him 24/7 or whatever it is in yeshiva with him. He would visit him periodically throughout the year to be able to see his Rebbe. So he came to the Vilna Gaon once, and he comes to the house of the Vilna Gaon, and unfortunately, the Vilna Gaon was not at home. So he asked the people in the house, he said, where is Rabbeinu Reb Eliyahu? Where is the Vilna Gaon? And they said, he's in shul. He refuses to come home. Why? He had a question. He has not figured out the answer to the question. He said he's not going to come home. He's not going to have a meal until he gets pshat. And he has been there, I don't know what it was, a day or two or 3 days. He has stayed there. He is not eating or drinking. He refuses to leave until he gets pshat. So Chaim Volozhin, like, what? He goes to shul to find out, is this true? He sees his Rebbe there, the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon is sitting there by a table, and he looks like he's just passing out. But still, his eyes are burning into the sefer that he was learning, trying to figure out, what is the pshat? What is the emes of this thing that I'm learning? And when the Vilna Gaon sees Reb Chaim of Volozhin, his Talmud, walk in, he says, Chaim, come help me so I can understand pshat. So you can help me understand this. And Reb Chaim of Volozhin says, Rebbe, you're the Vilna Gaon. You're the biggest person in the past 500 years. What can I possibly say that would help you? And the Vilna Gaon gave him a stern look. He says, it says in Kayahalas, Toim Shnayim and Echad, two people are better than one. You think I'm very big? I can't do without a chavrusa. I can't do it unless we're working together. And he sits down with the Vilna Gaon. The two of them are sitting down together. And they learn, and in just a few moments, the Vilna Gaon says, oh, now I understand. It wasn't anything Reb Chaim Volozhin said, but the fact that they were working together, the Vilna Gaon got a pshat. He went home, and he finally was eating. Working together. This fellow in this town, he knows, I learned by myself. I don't need any help from anybody. You could be the smartest person in the world. Everybody needs somebody to help them, to work on something. Together, we can be unbelievably great. We can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. Your Rebbe's can't do it alone. You guys can't do it alone. We need help. And when we do it together, it's not just two people at that point. It's a chavrusa. We call it a chavrusa shot. It's two people together. It's two. It's not just two. It's a universe that just got created. Later on, Yaakov Avinu, he finally gets married. He gets married to Leah, gets married to Rachel, and neither one was having children. Not one, Leah and not Rachel. They were not having children. The Pasuk says in Perek Chav Tes Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayar Hashem, and Hashem saw, Kisenua Leah, that Leah was hated. By who? Leah was hated by Yaakov. Vayiftach es Rachmo, Hashem opened up her womb, v'Rochel Akara, and Rochel was childless. And then Leah had her first child, Reuben. You can't imagine the schus of being a mother to a Shevet. Do you know how many billionaires are in the United States now? How many billionaires do you think are in the United States? You think like 100, 25, I don't know. Just in the United States alone, hundreds and hundreds of billionaires, and around the world, over 2,700 billionaires in the world. You want to be a billionaire? Listen, if a person wants to be a billionaire, I'm sure it's a lot of fun to be a billionaire in a certain way. But there are at least 2,699 other people in the world who are also billionaires. I wondered once, this guy's, when I was younger, the richest person in the world was worth $40 billion. That's how much. Bill Gates was worth $40 billion. Now there are people who are worth $250 billion, right? What do they all want to do? They all want to be the first trillionaire, right? Everybody wants to be the first trillionaire. There are only 12 shmatim. Every one of the mothers knew that they are only going to have 12. And every one that they had, they said, it can be me. I could be one of them. I could have one. And when Leah saw she had Reuven, well, there's only 11 left. If you're a billionaire, there are still 2,699 plus other. No, there are only 12 shvatim. And she got to have one. Why did she get to have one? Vayar Hashem kisnua Leah. Hashem saw Leah was hated. Some say she wasn't hated. The Ramban says she was hated. Some say she wasn't hated. She was disliked. She wasn't loved as much as Rachel. Fine. But Hashem saw that about her. She wasn't treated well. She wasn't treated as well as she could have been. Rachel was treated better than her. She was downtrodden. She felt terrible. My father, when I was sitting shiva with my father, somebody came and told me a story. A very, very small story. My father had a relative, not exactly a very close relative. And she suffered from some form of a mental disability. Mental disability. It wasn't major, but because of that, people used to treat her different. And in fact, back then, sadly, sometimes it happens nowadays, people treated her so different, they used to bully her. And as my father was a little kid, 11, 12 years old, he used to do whatever he could to defend her, to protect her, to take care of her. She had this thing, she loved batteries. She loved batteries. She used to call up our house when I was younger. She used to call us up and she would say, is my father there? I'd say, maybe I can help you. No, she wouldn't even say anything. She would hang up the phone. She only wanted to talk to my father. What she wanted to talk to my father about? Batteries. Can you please drop off more batteries? She used to have this tiny little battery-operated television screen. It was like this big, but it didn't plug in. It needed batteries. And she must have had hundreds and thousands of batteries for it, but she was always nervous she might not have enough batteries. But who else was going to be concerned of a person that she was bullied throughout her life because she had a problem? Vayar Hashem kisnua Leah. Hashem saw Leah had a problem. Normally, if somebody has a problem, that's the person you don't want to be associated. Everybody wants to be associated with the cool guy. The cool guy. The guy who's popular. The guy who's this. The guy who's that. On the other hand, who's there to take care of some people who are not yet achieving? A person who can put their arm over that shoulder. You want to know, there are 2,700, maybe 81 billionaires in the world. You're much greater than all of them. If a person says, Vayar me, I saw, Vayar Moshe, ki sanua Zelig, that Zelig was in pain, and I'm there to help Zelig, because Zelig is not being treated as well as everybody else. I can do something to go out of my way and put my arm over his shoulder and give him a little smile and give him some positivity. That's what Hashem did. Hashem does not write these things because Hashem wants an autobiography about himself to say, you know who I am, you know how nice I am, I'm so nice. Hashem said it because I know that you can do the exact same thing. Last night I went to the basketball practice for the Sharks, Baruch Hashem. Yeah, go team. I went there. Guys were working, some guys weren't achieving, but you know what? As everybody did something well, every guy that did something well, there were 10 other people there to cheer that guy on. When somebody did something nice, somebody scored, somebody surprised, 10 guys were ready to achieve, and 10 guys were ready to applaud that. 10 guys. Every single person. There were 11 guys there last night, and 10 other guys were there to applaud everything. And even when they were told by the coach that they needed to go run some suicides back and forth, and the coach said that if one person beats all of you, then you guys are going to have to do this again. That one guy who was 96 times faster than every other person there, he allowed himself to go slow, that little cheater, but he did it. Because you know what? You know what? We take care of each other. Vayar Hashem kisnu aleihem means Hashem saw that someone was missing. Don't run after Mr. Popular. There are people who need your help. There are people in this yeshiva who need your help. There are people around the world. There are people in your shul. There are people in your camp. There are people who are your friends. There are people in your family that need help. It might be batteries sometimes. It might be a phone call. It might be a letter. You know, sometimes there are people. Anybody knows you? There's a pen. You take a pen and take a piece of paper and you write on it and you can send it in the mail. And there are people who can't. You know, I knew somebody. He was in prison. He was in prison. He was in Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix, Arizona, in prison. My sister can't call him. He wasn't able to get phone calls. My sister would send him letters all the time. Reb Shalom Mordechai Rubashkin, if anybody knows who that is, he's a great tzaddik. When he was in prison, there were rebbeim in yeshivas who used to send letters like every week. A Devar Torah, we're thinking about you. You're not forgotten. You're in prison, but you're not forgotten. My father, once a month, would go to Butner, North Carolina. There was a Yid in prison there that nobody cared about, and he had been in prison for 30 years. Without anybody knowing about it, once a month, my father would fly there to be able to take care of this guy, and he would sit with him and schmooze with this guy as much as he could. And Baruch Hashem, this person is much more famous now. For those who know him, his name is Jonathan Pollard. And Baruch Hashem, he's in Eretz Yisrael now, and he's able to live a free life. But once a month, there was another person who was in California. He was in prison in Northern California. Once a month, my father would go see him too. We get on a plane. My father made sure to go on a plane. You know, you sit in a certain class, you put a little money into the phone, and you can make phone calls from the plane. And we'd sometimes call my father, and you'd hear the static, right? You'd hear him on the plane. You speak to him. But somebody would fly to these people. Who's taking care of these people? I've said this story. My father was in the hospital. When my father was sick in the hospital, a certain person came to my father begging for advice. Now, why does a person come to advice from someone sitting in a hospital bed? Why would you do that? And the answer is because everyone else closed the door on him. This guy, he had done something questionable, or at least people thought he did. He had done something questionable. And therefore, nobody wanted to talk to him. The only person who said, yes, I will give you an hour of my time, was the person with very little of his own time left. I was there that day when this person came in and was able to open up and say all of his tzaras, and my father gave him a little piece of advice. And Baruch Hashem, he's living a nice, happy life now. Vayar Hashem kisnua Leah. Hashem saw that Leah was hated, and therefore he took care of her. Not a Vayar Hashem ki Leah was the coolest, most gorgeous woman in the world, and therefore Hashem took care of her. Are you going to go look around? Last week we had a speaker, Simcha Shein. He came here. He said, if you're looking for chesed, you'll find it. The red car, like Yasha explained. If you're looking for it, you'll find it. If you're looking to help people, you'll find it. But you have to open up your eyes. There are people out there who are sinua. They're mistreated. They've got some things going on. And if you look at this, then they will produce Be'ezus Hashem, like Leah produced one of 12. Much better than being a billionaire. Hashem should give you a beautiful Shabbos with delicious food, and everyone should be happy. Sing Zmiras. One more Shabbos and Shabbaton. Next week, we have a good Shabbos.